Shall we read those verses together in Exodus 29?
Yes.
I know we read it already, but it's good to read it again.
Amen.
Exodus 29, 10 to 14.
Sin offering?
Oh, sorry.
The 15 no, no. to...
15 to...
21?
15
to 18?
15 to 18. Yeah. 15 to 18.
Yeah.
You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Praise you, Father.
Amen.
Lord, our desire is to know you.
Amen.
To know such a living God,
yes,
that we may draw near to you.
Amen.
Oh Lord, who is like you?
Amen.
Our one true living God.
Amen.
And Christ Jesus, that has given us such eternal life.
Amen.
Yeah, this morning we pray, Lord, the church belongs to you.
Yes. Amen.
Head over all things to the church.
Amen.
Pray that the words of our mouth, yeah, and the meditation of our heart is well acceptable to you, O Lord.
Amen.
Preserve the ears of the saints.
Yes.
Yeah, that the Spirit would speak. Take away any noise and voice of a man, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you are the one who speaks. So we pray we are empty vessels for you.
Amen.
That you may fill us up, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's amazing that we can stand together, yeah?
Amen.
Because I believe every one of us has a desire to draw near to God.
Amen.
Yeah, when I put my name on this burnt offering topic, I was asking the Lord, I don't know much. I even don't know a little bit. And the more time I spend reading his word and spending time with the Lord reveals I don't know his infinite love, infinite wisdom, his infinite holiness. You don't know it. But this God is telling me, come near, come up, draw near, return to me. Who is this God? You know, we need to know such a God. That the things that holds us down, the weight and the sin that ensnares us, you know, we really need to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to know you in such a way. It'll change. Everything that we thought is good and life, it'll change. Because this God wants us to change. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. Yeah, so, you know, the burnt offering. As I was considering it before the Lord, I realized it has to do a lot with the heart. The heart of man and the heart of God. Because it is what touches the heart of God. I often ask, why is David so special to God? He's a man after God's own heart. God even says in his word, in Genesis chapter 6, the thoughts and the intents of every man is evil continually. This is the condition of our heart. And that is why the process of consecration is so relevant. And we need to not only think of it some kind of a ritual practice, but it should be our reality. God works through every step, and he has given it to us. What is stopping us from drawing near to God? So the process of, you know, the brothers brought out the purpose of the consecration, that we may represent God on this earth. Today we live among a generation that doesn't know God. So-called Christians don't know God. What about us? We know God, we should represent him. His glory should be revealed out of every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. What is stopping us? The more we draw near to him, he gives us life. And this life is, you know, I often, when I go to share the gospel, I say this often. Jesus came to give us life and give it abundantly.
Amen.
But the more we eat that, no, this life is not just something you know in your mind, but it is something you can impart to somebody else. And it revives them, brings them to life, that you have a desire to know God. This is what eternal life is all about. And God wants us to have it. But it starts with the power of consecration. So I was really impressed when the brother shared the washing of the water by the word. You know, it's not just reading the word, but it is meditating on the word, eating it, letting it be part of your life, asking questions to the Lord. Why did Abraham do that? Why did David take these steps? Why did Jesus give fully himself to the Father? We need to think about these things, not just to think in my mind, but to be settled in my heart. That is what it means to be washed by the water of the word. I also was encouraged with the putting on the garments of righteousness, garments of salvation. This is what Christ has given us, right? Then we moved on to the sin offering. Yeah, wow, it's so amazing. The sin offering, the brother said, is so serious because everything of the sin is from the devil. How many years I have been a Christian, so-called Christian, I did not know that sinning is part of the devil's attitude. Sorry. Yeah, so we have come now to the point of burnt offering.
Amen.
And you know, the brother said yesterday, it is so serious and so important. And I was asking, Lord, have you revealed to me everything that is so important that I can share with the saints? I don't know the answer to that, but I know that the Lord will speak through the church.
Amen.
So, I mean, I want to just get into this topic of reading this Exodus 29. But before that, you know, just for the sake of the new ones, I wanted to share something. You know, when you come to the meeting place, you join the saints, you see some of the saints stand on a Sunday, and you see them sharing this is my burnt offering, this is my meal offering. And it is normal that you will also become a part of it. Yeah, you know what, maybe this is a thing that I need to do. And maybe in your mind and heart, it is like a testimony or something, you know, you're just bringing to God. But actually, it's good to understand what is it. And for me, taking the time to understand the offering became really important. The word offering, what does it mean? So let's just read quickly Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2. Leviticus 1, 2. Speak to the children of Israel, say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring an offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. Amen. This word offering is very key to remember here, because the meaning of the word is drawing near to God. But it is not just bringing something to God. It is, like for example, you know, between me and Aussie, I was just thinking of this example. I say there's a problem between me and Aussie. There's a rift between me and Aussie. But I know I want to make up to Aussie, and I want to now draw near to Aussie. But I know that Aussie likes coffee. He drinks coffee 10 times a day. I know that if I bring coffee, I can win his heart. So coffee, I'll call Aussie and say, Aussie, I want to have some coffee with you. Can I bring some coffee? Aussie gets happy because he likes coffee. This allows me to come close to Aussie. But it is not the coffee that I'm bringing. It is me that is going close to Aussie. This is important to understand. Offering is not something that you say with your mouth. It is what you're doing to draw near to God. It is not some ritual practice we have every Sunday, but in every single day, living out Christ. What can I do to draw close to God? By Jesus being my burnt offering, my meal offering, my sin offering, my peace offering. Every single day, I'm living this out.
Amen.
That I may draw close to God. Amen. And then on a Sunday, I come with the richest experience I have to give my God, my Father.
Amen.
This is what the word offering means. Offer to the Father, not just to speak something, but to draw near to Him.
Amen.
And He said, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you return to me, I will return to you. This is His promise. So let this be our reality. So I hope the word offering, whenever, it's so easy to make it such a ritualistic thing, but it is what God has given me. Even that God has given me. It is not something I produce by myself. He has given me the best. He said in His word, I have given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Christ Himself He has given, the richest. So what stops me from bringing it to God? Yeah. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say. I'll just put this into perspective if you didn't understand that. You know, I was looking at this, just looking at the book of Genesis and Exodus. This really helped me understand it. You know, the first three chapters in the book of Genesis, you can clearly see what...
Bring it closer.
Oh, sorry.
Away from the speaker.
This is just a small illustration because it helped me understand it. You know, the first three chapters of Genesis is key to understand. Because if you ever wonder, what is your purpose? What is your goal? This is the chapter that you can go to. The first two chapters show that God created man in his own image, his likeness. But he also created a purpose in us. He created man to rule, to have dominion, to subdue this earth and everything that is under it. That is why God created us. In the second chapter, God says, he created man and took him from the dust of the ground and placed him in the Garden of Eden. But he also says why? To tend and to keep it. To serve, to take care of it, to take care of his creation. He already gave us our designation. In the first chapter, he made us a king. In the second chapter, he made us a priest. Take care of his creation. But very quickly, in the third chapter, things take a turn. And what is that, what is happening there is, you know, man gives into deception, lies, and very quickly, man is thrown out of his presence. Yeah, fallen. The verses is in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. As you can clearly see, man was sent away from God's presence. Once upon a time, we were near, we were in God's presence, but now being sent away because of sin and death and banished away from God's presence. This is key to understand that now in the book of Exodus, as you draw closer, you can see there's a pattern that draws very quickly here. In Exodus 25:8, wonderful verse, it says, God says, let them make me a sanctuary, so I may dwell among them. And very quickly, God also gives Moses the pattern on the way they have to build the sanctuary. Everything directed by God. The pattern of the sanctuary and what God is going to do. He is going to dwell among his people. But this is important to understand because this is a holy God who is coming to be in the presence of mortal people who have sinned in us. And God wants to draw near to us. But what is our response? And how are we going to do it? You know, we can try our own ideas on how to draw close to God, but God has already given everything in his word for us to draw close to him. And that is why when in the book of Leviticus, God says, let them bring an offering. So, you know, sometimes I know it's not easy to understand, but we need revelation. The Lord gave us a gift of being a priest, and not only did he give us a gift of being a priest, but he has given everything for us to draw near to him. But it is my heart that is not willing and accepting to draw close to God. So this is, in a general, the story of Genesis and Exodus. Because in Exodus 40, you know that now God has come to be among his people, his chosen people. And now we need to respond with everything that he has given us. That is why the word offering is draw near. We were once apart, but draw near. And God has given us everything to draw near. I just wanted to highlight this because for me, this was very key in understanding how do I, go ahead. Yeah. So now the question is, how does one draw near to God? Yeah, praise the Lord. I want to read a few verses in Psalms 15. Psalms 15. Amen. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?
He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart.
Amen. I mean, that was good enough. I want to highlight to you these verses. He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness, and he who speaks the truth in his heart. This is key to understanding the burnt offering, my brothers and sisters. You know, in the heart, right, like we said before, is deceptive. It is something that I do with my mouth a lot, but my heart is far away from God. And this is key to understanding the burnt offering. God doesn't want my outward appearance, all the things I am doing with my hands and my feet. He wants my heart. If he gets my heart, then I get to know what is in God's heart too. So this is key to understanding the burnt offering. I want to just highlight a few, two burnt offerings that really stood out to me, and then I will go into reading our topic today. Genesis chapter, you know, the first time the burnt offering is mentioned is in the book of Genesis. Of course, it has to be in the book of Genesis. But the first time it's mentioned is in chapter 8. Let's read this. It'll help us understand the consecration of a priest. It's amazing that Noah already knows what to do. In the book, in Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground. Man said, as the thought and imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Amen. I really enjoyed reflecting on these chapters because it showed me that, you know, God is not after what I speak with my mouth, it's but with what I do with my heart. You know, and over here you can see that Noah did something that is so amazing because, you know, it was what God had in his heart. And the problem started from Genesis chapter 6. And I'll show you this. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5. And it reads, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. You can see that is a common word often used over here. He was grieved in his heart. You know, this is something you and I have to pay attention to. How does God consider each one of us today? Is he grieving in his heart? You know, as you continue reading these two chapters, you will see that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord chose him to build an ark. And you know, the whole world was running in a certain direction. But Noah was told to build the ark. And he built it faithfully. The whole world made fun of him. Everybody told, you're a fool. But he stood ground and built the ark. And this is key for us to understand. Because today, what is in God's heart? If the church, if the kingdom is in God's heart, what are we all prioritized today? We need to be reminded of this. You can see in verse chapter 6, verse 8. No, chapter 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Amen. Verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Amen. You can see the problem started in God's heart. Noah stood ground. He did what was right in God's eyes. That's why in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'll just read this for you, you don't have to turn. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen,
moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
Brothers and sisters, what is consecration? Is it some process I do? Or is it looking at the one who condemned the world, showed the world, put the world behind, moved forward to do the will of the Father? This is why Noah's heart over here is very important to see. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Everything that we speak here, it's all a matter of faith. It's all a matter of our heart. We are called to be a priest, not because I want to be given a title, but I am called to represent God on this earth. The whole world will move in a certain direction, but we are called to move in the direction of the Lord. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. I'm reminded of Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. In verse 13. Key verse. I'll read. Therefore the Lord says, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is stopped by the commandment of men.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. What is this? This is a correction. We need to really ask the Lord, week by week, day by day, what am I doing in my life? Is it just something I'm coming and talking with my mouth? Because I can tell you, it becomes very easy after a while. I have figured this out myself. You can actually fool, and you can do this with your mouth, but what is God looking at? On one day, like Noah happened, the world will be condemned. That day, it's too late. Today is the day for consecration. Putting God, I want to know what is in your heart, and I want my heart to be aligned with you. This is why we talk about this consecration. I also want to just read Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. This is the second time the word burnt offering is mentioned in Genesis. And it reads, I'll read a few verses in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Yeah. Did God really want Isaac? What did God really want? Abraham's heart, exactly. Is it easy to let go of what you love, what you think is right? You know, my comfort, my will, my desire, my understanding. My brothers and sisters, if we don't come and be refreshed with the word of God and ask God, I want to know you. I want to know you, and I will not stop till I know you. What if we have a generation that will not stop seeking God in such a way? Will we not be consecrated? I believe this is a God, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. This is his desire. It is not some religious practice we want to do. We want to know this God, and we will not stop till our king comes back. What if we have a generation that will stand up to make such a choice? Abraham was asked to give up the one thing he loved. You know, he was 100 years old. He waited a lifetime for the son. He did not speak anything back to the Lord. It says, in verse 8, when his son asked him, Papa, where is the burnt offering? He said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for an offering. In verse 12, the angel said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. This is the key, my brothers and sisters. Where is the fear of God? In the land we live today, where is the fear of God? We are doing whatever seems right in our own eyes. I am doing whatever seems right in my own eyes. Where is the fear of God? I need to ask myself, where is this going? Am I raising my children in the way of the Lord? Am I representing Christ in my household? Am I a husband that puts or loves my wife? Am I doing what God has called me to do in my workplace? It is not some ritual practice, but it is the reality of Christ lived out wherever we go. If I am not representing and glorifying God, if God is not visible in my life, then we have to ask, Lord, I want to know you in such a way. Jesus never tried to show God to other people. He just lived it out. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Simple. If you have seen me, you will not see the Father yet. Obedient to the point of death, yes. And that's what Abraham had. He had this fear. So, yeah, praise the Lord for these two examples that I wanted to highlight. I also just was encouraged, before I segue into the reading, you know, it says in verse 13 of the same chapter, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Yeah. This is what I wanted to segue into, because the first point I had in today's burnt offering was the ram. You know, who provided the ram? God provided the ram. In the land, God provides the ram. Today, who is our ram? It's Christ himself. Where is Christ today? Living in us. Is he far away? The word says, the word is not far away. It is in my mouth. It is in my heart, the word says. How far is God from us today? Back then, it was a ritual practice. But what if God has made his dwelling place in me? How far is God today? It is still this heart that is, I don't want to lose my fun. I don't want to lose my comfort. I don't want to lose all these things. Then who is going to build up the kingdom of God? If it is not God's people. If it is not me and you. Yeah, praise the Lord. So yeah, just going back to now reading the book of Exodus 29. I want to just go through some of these points for us to consider. You know, Aaron, I'm just reading point 5, verse B. Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the ram's head to signify they are joined to this sacrifice. Yeah, this ram is very key to understand. When the word started, it said that you shall take animals of no blemish, blameless, spotless. This is key to understanding what it means for a burnt offering. The Lord doesn't want something tainted with sin, and you know, just on a Sunday I come and offer it. That's why the process of washing, putting on the garment, sin offering, and then you come to a place of, Lord, what is right in my eyes, even take that away. What seems to be good to me, take that away. My self-righteousness, take it away. I want to know this God and his righteousness. So that's what this burnt offering is about, knowing what is in my heart. So the animal here I've written is tamim, unblemished. These are Hebrew words, I have never read them before, but the word tamim means blameless. So the animal that the Lord, even the animal was given by the Lord, the ram was given by the Lord, and this animal is blameless, and God is willing for me to put my hands on it, and like Mo said yesterday, it represents me. I am a blameful, incomplete man, but God is willing to take a replacement for me. If this is not love, if this is not love, brothers and sisters, we need to ask, what am I doing? If I don't see the holiness of God, this God has left his heavenly abode, came and made his presence in the tabernacle, made a way for me now to come to him, and he gives me even the animal, and I'm called to place my hand on the animal, because he's willing to take this animal instead of me. So that's what the word tamim, it is an image of a human who is not blameless. Like, I am blameless, I am full of blame, the animal is blameless, but God is willing to take this as a replacement for me. Yeah. I want to read a few verses, you know, I mean, in Malachi chapter 1, 6, 8, some good warnings for us. What kind of offerings are we bringing to our Father? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. How often do we sit during the day, Lord, how can I bring you my best? Or am I just coming on a Sunday to offer something? Chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor?
If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, by what way have we defiled you? The table of the Lord is contemptible. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil?
O Lord, offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you?
Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts.
O Lord. Yeah, this is a warning for the priests in ancient Israel that they started to compromise and bring things that are like, it's not good, it's not functioning well, so I might as well give it to God. But do you know the kind of ram that God has given us today? Holy, undefiled, blameless, spotless, perfect. Such a one lives in me. How am I conducting myself, my brothers and sisters? But this is what we as priests are doing today. I myself ask myself, what am I doing? If you have given me the best, what am I bringing? I'm placing my hand on something and mocking God. It starts with the condition of our heart. 1 Peter encourages us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14.
Beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and without spot and blameless.
Amen. Yeah, this is a warning. This is a warning from Peter reminding us the day of the Lord draws near. We do not know if we have our tomorrows today. If the Lord speaks to our hearts, do not harden it. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to give you the best burnt offering. To give you my heart, nothing less. And it's not easy, but the Lord will help show us. More of Christ needs to be formed in us. When I'm talking to my colleague, when I'm sitting at home with my children and my wife, what is in my heart? That is important. Am I teaching my children to grow up in the way of the Lord? Or I'm like, oh, I want to break today. No. Am I a priest that is mindful of my Father's business? Even the Lord said, not my will, but yours be done. Even in the worst suffering, not my will, but yours be done. This is what it means to be blameless in God's eyes. So, and it's not like, you know, you're trying a religious practice. It is like just surrendering your heart. It starts with the heart. It starts with my heart, and it reaches the heart of God. Yeah, another verse I want to read here is 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6. Yeah, amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Yeah, obedience of Christ. That is key over here, brothers and sisters. Many people will tell you many things in this life, but you need to know what is the will of God. And we need to know what is the mind of Christ. He came to do what was well-pleasing to the Father. So what about us? We need to search. We need to seek what is in God's heart and do accordingly. It can't get clearer than this. Even he has given us a way to bring every thought captive. The first time I heard this word, it was such a revelation. I didn't know you could bring every thought captive. I thought the thought comes, you just go with this way and then later say sorry. No. God has given us everything to bring even a thought that comes into my mind captive. That is a power that God has given us, and that is found only in Christ Jesus. His obedience becomes my obedience. Yeah, praise the Lord. What is next? Yeah, so the first one was about the blameless animal that the Lord allows us to place our hands on, who gets to represent me, and today that lives in me, so that I can be perfected in God's eyes. The next one is the animal is cut in pieces, entrails washed and laid on the altar. And I think this is good to be reminded. You know, the thing about the burnt offering is the only offering, nothing is left back. Everything is cut and put on the altar. It is a complete surrender, complete giving in to yourself. And you know, you may think like, oh Lord, I may not have fun and other things. That's a lie from the enemy. It is when you lose your life, you will find it. Who desires to keep his life will lose it. And this is the word from the word of God, and it is something if you try, you will taste for yourself. You may, the enemy keeps saying, no, you got all these things lined up for you. No, he who desires to lose his life will find it. This is his word. So that is why, as was reminded, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And there you will find life. 100% for God. Amen. Yeah. Let's read a few verses here in Hebrews 10:22. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. As you can see, it's again reminding you, it is the condition of our heart, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And this is the point about the blood that is being poured around on the altar. Just read that verse in Exodus chapter 29 verses 16. It says, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Amen. This is a complete surrender, and sprinkling the blood is what the Lord has given us. His blood that not only washes away and purifies my sin, but also gives me a new life. And that is what it means to sprinkle my heart from an evil conscience. My conscience actually is devious. It lies to me sometimes. It tells me, do these things, don't go for the meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting, who wants to go? I can't do it. All these things come, but he gives me life. And I eat that life. I have that sprinkled life in me that now, no, I am mindful of my Father's business. We need to have this life in us. It is not just something I'm trying to do, but this life renews my heart. So the animal is cut in pieces, complete obedience. So let's just read those verses in Philippians chapter 2. It's good. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5. I'll read a few verses here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Amen. Yeah, just this part. Humbled even to the point of death, became obedient to the point of death. This is what it means to completely surrender. Point of death. It is painful. Nobody's saying it's easy. But in the pain, he goes with you. He goes through the process with you. And he lifts you up as well to give you life. Whatever you think is good, whatever you think is life, let the Lord teach you. Renew your mind, it says, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12. Amen. I'll read, yeah? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Yeah, this is key. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. And this is the greatest gift that God gives us. We can bring our bodies a living sacrifice. We are people of sin and death and tainted with all this part of the world. But yet, he gives me his life that I can bring it back to God. And that's why the key of drawing near that I highlighted in the beginning. Whatever God has given me, I can now draw near to him. The Bible says in a new and living way, I can draw near to him. So this is key that I just wanted to remind one another. Couple of more points. How much time do I have?
5 minutes. Okay. So 10:30.
Okay.
6 minutes.
Good enough. Okay. Something very key that I was just impressed is, you know, the burnt offering is not just about surrendering, cutting the animals, putting it on them, but the fire. The fire is very important. Because the fire causes the entire thing to be consumed, and there is a smoke that rises. And this smoke doesn't just rise, but it reaches the Father as well. And that is why the word soothing aroma, sweet smelling aroma is important. You know, and I'll show you in Ephesians chapter 5, yeah? The burnt offering is not just you surrendering, but is it well pleasing to the Father? That is key for us to understand. No? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Oh, I'll read 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Amen.
The aroma has to reach the Father. And the fire will burn. You know, the in Revelation, we know that Jesus' eyes are like a flame of fire. You know, it is called for us to be purified. Not just be purified, but also to be a living sacrifice that is well-pleasing to the Father. So it's for me to search, Lord, I want to not only bring you a burnt offering, but is it well-pleasing to you? A soothing aroma. Why did when Noah gave that offering, he was in a boat, he came out of the boat and he took clean animals. He did not take unclean animals. Why did he take clean animals? Because he knew what would be well-pleasing to the Father. And that reached the Father and his heart changed. A heart that was troubled in chapter 6 becomes calm in chapter 8. And this is key for us to understand. It was a man who was out of obedience, out of righteousness, did what is well-pleasing to the Father, gave clean animals. And today we need to know, where is my hands going? Where is my feet going? Is it clean? That's why I read Psalms 15 earlier. Clean hands and a pure. Did I read that?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Yeah. Clean hands and a pure heart. So this, as we meditate on this, we need to really ask the Lord. Just another thing that I want to purify is, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13. We talked about the fire, but you know, the fire not only is for purifying and, you know, bringing the smoke up, but it'll also test us on the day when the Lord returns. So that this is key for us to keep in heart. What are we doing today with our lives? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13. Yeah, praise the Lord. So when you think of fire and the burnt offering, this is good to also be reminded. 12 and 13. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. This is why we need to keep in mind, what am I building on? How am I spending my days? What am I doing with my life? Is it well-pleasing to the Father? Is it building on the foundation, Jesus Christ? Is it building on the kingdom of God? Is it putting the kingdom first and seeking first his kingdom and righteousness? Brothers and sisters, if this is not our life, we are doing a lot of good things. I'm just going and sharing the gospel whenever I feel like and doing all these good things. It's not going to stand on the day of trial. So today we need to ask, Father, what is your will? Search it. Seek it out. The Lord will reveal it to each one of us. The kingdom is always beat in God's heart. That is why when Jesus came to this earth, he said, for this reason I have come, to preach about the kingdom of God, to build my kingdom, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So what is my priority? So many things I'm doing. So I would just encourage about this fire part. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for all this understandings about the burnt offering, and to give our heart fully to the Lord. You know, we need to be men after God's heart, women after God's heart, children after God's heart, and that'll be well pleasing to the Father. Nothing of myself do I withhold. Let's let it go. Jesus said in Matthew 25. Sorry, not Matthew 25, 16. I'll read a few verses here, yeah? Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange of his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works.
So brothers and sisters, let us consider how we are spending our days and our life on this earth. Let us number the days we have. Is it well-pleasing to the Father, fully given in to the Father, complete obedience to the Father? And let us ask, Lord, I want to know your will. I want to know your presence. I want to know how to serve you acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So may the Lord reveal more of his life to each one of us.
Amen.
I just want to pray, yeah? Father, I thank you for the boldness. I thank you for the strength. I thank you for your love. I pray that you would build your church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I pray that all that we do for one another is to build up and edify your church, that you will get the bride you are longing for. For this reason, Lord, we pray we are a generation that will look forward and hasten your return.
Amen.
Increase our experience of this burnt offering.
Amen.
Lord, especially as we consecrate ourselves as your holy and royal priesthood.
Amen.
Speaking to the churches, my Lord. Lord, we do not want to harden our hearts. We don't want to hold anything back for ourselves, my Lord. But we want to give our all to you. Lord, we pray for the practical reality of this word, my Lord.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that we'll not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your words.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, I want you to plant you in my heart.
Amen.
I want you to We want to give you what is acceptable to you.
Amen.
From the depths of our heart, we offer ourselves to you.
Amen.
We shall be to be acceptable to you, dear.
Amen.
God, it is not the boots or the rocks. It is a heart that you desire.
Amen.
Amen.
Just like you were consumed by the will of the Father.
Amen.
Let your zeal burn in our hearts.
Amen.
Lord, that nothing of us remains.
Amen.
Lord, that it become practical in our daily living.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, show us how we can gain you as the burnt offering.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, yes, that we would deny our own soul lush and live you truly out.
Amen.
We would live a life for your kingdom and for your house.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we want to experience the reality and the application of you as the burnt offering.
Amen.
Yes, not just in a theory, but as part of our daily life.
Amen.
Yes, that we would not hold back anything of ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, that we would be completely eliminated on the cross with you.
Yes. Amen.
Oh Lord, we pray that you reveal this more and more to all of us.
Amen. Amen.
That we would willingly and desire to be fully consecrated to you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, no longer to live for ourselves, but for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you said, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O Lord." Yeah. Let this be our reality, O Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, not just knowledge, but we will all be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Make this our practical reality every single day, that we may draw near to you, O Lord.
Amen.
And 9. You can read with me Psalm 69, verses 7, 8, and 9. Psalm 69, 7, 8, and 9. Because for your sake I have reproach, shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because the zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you has fallen on me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the zeal for your house has eaten me up.
Amen.
Yes, let this zeal burn in our hearts.
Amen.
Not for anything, but for your house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.